things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Malachi, we're going to read from chapter 3. And last week we began to look at the comparisons between the Alpha and Omega ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we'll continue with this study, but let me remind you before we begin this morning that the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, does not speak of the Son of God, but it speaks of the God of the Son. And so in reading from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." In Hebrews chapter 13, in reading from verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read two scriptures this morning, both saying the same thing. I am the Lord and I change not, and Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Father, we find a problem here with our mindset, not with your word. For your word says the same thing, and yet the mind would read the name Jesus and automatically think of the child that was born in the manger, the child that went on to die for our sins. But we know, Father, that that child did change. He grew. He waxed strong. He grew in knowledge and in grace with you, Lord. But it is you, Father, who do not change. You are the unchanging God. And so, Father, we pray that you would anoint the words that go forth this morning. Anoint the hearers, Father, that they might hear that which is being spoken. And we, Father, we just pray that you would help us to have a better understanding of that name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The problem we have in these two verses is that because of improper teaching concerning the Godhead, most people who read these two verses immediately think of the body that walked the shores of Galilee. But Hebrews 13 and 8 and Malachi 3 and verse 6 do not speak of that body. They do not speak of the Son of God. But they speak of the one who indwelt that body. He is the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one that is the unchanging God. He is the one that is the God of the Son. Now, the reason that most people have so difficult in reading and understanding Hebrews 13 and 8 is because that the name Jesus Christ is used there. The same people in reading Malachi 3 and 6 do not have a problem reading that God changes not. But they have a problem reading Hebrews 13 and 8 because the name Jesus Christ is used and immediately the name is identified with the child that was born in Bethlehem, with the child that grew up, did the miracles, which the child that died for our sins. But Jesus Christ, that is the same. But Jesus Christ, that is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, is not the Son of God, but the God who indwelt that Son. Therefore, before we go any further in our comparisons between the Alpha and the Omega, because remember, it was Jesus Christ that said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And it was not the Son of God that was speaking. We need to understand also that the name Jesus belongs to the Son of God because He came in His Father's name. Therefore, the name not only is used by the Son of God, but the Father as well. Therefore, the name of the Father is Jesus Christ, and thus the name of the Son had to be called Jesus also, because He said He came in His Father's name. Remember the great revelation that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. I'll never forget, I had a friend in Indiana when we lived there for 3.5 years. That was kind of our backside of the desert experience in Indiana. And I had a friend there. His name was Brother Ken. He goes by a different name now. I don't recall what that name is. But anyway, Brother Ken was studying Hebrew at the University of Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana. And he ended up getting, I think, a Russian and an Arabic and a Hebrew master's in those, and worked for the intelligence and all that kind of stuff. Needless to say, one day I went over to his house to visit, and he was just dancing around. And in fact, he came to my house that night. He was so excited, and he was just kind of dancing around. He said, "I got this great revelation. I got this great revelation." I said, "Well, what's that, Ken?" He said, "The pronunciation of God, the name of God." I said, "Well, Ken, I've known that for years." And his face just kind of dropped. And I said, what do you think the pronunciation of the name of God is?" And he said, "Because in the Hebrew, you see, they don't pronounce any vowels. In fact, when they spell the name of God, it's G-V-H. J-V-H. And so they don't pronounce the vowels, you know, for a Jehovah. And so he says, it's Yehovah." And I started laughing. I said, "Well, Ken," I said, "no, that's not it." I said, "But I do know the pronunciation of the name of God because I have a vindicated prophet that told me." And he said, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "It's Jesus. No other name whereby a man can be saved than the name Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus said, 'I come in my Father's name.'" Well, does that sound confusing? You know, it really shouldn't be. Every son comes in his Father's name. And what is so confusing about that? In John 5, verse 43, Jesus, the Son of God, said, "I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive." And in Luke 19, verse 38, we read, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And what is the name of the Lord? It's Jesus. That's the name of the Lord. Therefore, in Malachi 3 and 6, when it says, "The Lord, I am the Lord, I change not, I am Jesus. I change not." That's the name of the Lord. Again, John 10, verse 25, Jesus said, tells them that the works that he did in the name of his Father. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So Jesus is doing the works, and in so doing, he is bearing witness to his Father and to his Father's name in the process. And yet he said in John 5:19 and 5 and verse 30, he said, "The Son can of himself do nothing. But whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise." And again, he said, "The Father worketh, and the Son worketh hitherto." In other words, the Father shows me these things to do in a vision. So it is the Father doing them, but I am just like a puppet. And I do whatever my Father shows me by vision, what he's doing, and so that I am doing likewise. Brother Branham gives us the illustration of how he went to pray for this person in this home, and God had given him a vision. And in the vision, there was a certain man sitting in this chair. There's a certain woman sitting in this chair. There's a hat on a chair between them. And when that scenario was set up, in the vision, he saw himself standing over the sick person and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, you're healed." Well, he got there in the morning, and there's lots of people at the house, and nobody was sitting in those chairs. Then one by one, people would come down, sit in those chairs, but he had to wait. He waited 8 hours watching those chairs. Man get up, went over. Woman sat down. Man came over, he sat down. Man got back up. It was a very frustrating time to watch. Finally, when that woman sat in that chair, the man sat in that chair, and the man took his hat off and he put it on the chair. Brother Branham then jumped up and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, he's healed." Laid his hands on him. "Thus saith the Lord, he's healed." And the man was healed. God showed Jesus to walk over to the Pool of Siloam, past 300 individuals standing there, and to pray for one man that had an infirmity, that had been going there for 30 years, but because of the infirmity, he was kind of slow. But he was yet able to go there. and to heal that man. Why would God have him bypass 300 people? That's God's business. He's a sovereign God. God chooses to do what He wants to do. Could Jesus have prayed for the sick? I'm sure He could have. Could there have been anointing to heal those people? I'm sure there could have been. Did He? No, He was an obedient son. The Bible says, "Yet though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered." Amen. That's if we could all learn that same lesson. And that's exactly what Brother Branham said concerning Jesus, that He had to have a vision, just like Brother Branham had to have vision. From Be Certain of God, paragraph 47, he said, "Jesus, when He was here, He said, 'I do nothing till the Father shows me.' He saw a vision. Everything that He did, He said, 'I do nothing except the Father shows me first.'" St. John 5:19, "So it's by vision. Now He promised those things. He told His disciples, 'When the Holy Spirit comes, don't you do that before the Gentiles. Do it before the house of Israel.' The day would come for the Gentiles. Now is their day. So God introduced Himself that way, the Messiah, and the woman, when she seen Jesus, tell her that, she said, 'Sir, I perceive that You're a prophet. We know that when Messiah cometh, He will tell us these things. But who are you?' And He said, 'I am He that speaketh to you.' So she ran into the city, and she said, 'Come see a man that told me the very things that I've done. Isn't this the Messiah?'" And from a sermon he preached called "Earnestly Contending for the Faith," Brother Branham said, "Now listen at Jesus' remark. He said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in Himself but whatsoever the Father shows me. What I see the Father doing, the Father shows me, and then I do it.' In other words, Jesus done nothing in Himself until He saw a vision of what the Father said do. Then He went and done it." Now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul tells us that Jesus received His name from the Father. Now we read this scripture already in John 5:23, where Jesus said that, "I come in My Father's name and you receive Me not. Another would come in His name, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever, and him you'll receive." But we find out why and how Jesus received that name. In Hebrews 1 and verse 4, Paul tells us that Jesus received His name from the Father as part of His inheritance. In verse 1, we read, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, 'Thou art My Son, this day I have begotten Thee'? And again, 'I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son.'" So He received the name Jesus by inheritance. So when we see the name Jesus Christ, we must ask ourselves what context this name is being represented. Because the word Christ has several meanings. It means anointing. It can also mean anointed. Or it can also mean the one who does the anointing, or the anointer Himself. Now the one who anoints is God Himself, as we see in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We read, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him." God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed. Now, if Jesus of Nazareth was God, if He was the Holy Ghost, it doesn't make any sense for Him to anoint Himself. How can you anoint yourself with the Holy Ghost? You see, people don't read their Bibles the way that it was written. They read it the way that their filter taught them to read. Then we must ask the question, if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, did He have the Holy Ghost before He was anointed by God? And the answer is yes. You say, well, if He had the Holy Ghost, then how was it that God could anoint Him with the Holy Ghost? Let me explain what the Holy Ghost is. What do you think of when you think of the word ghost? Well, there's other scriptures that defines it as spirit, right? You think of a spirit. You think of a essence of a being. Maybe the similitude, the figure of a being only in a spirit realm. Well, the word spirit actually comes from the Greek word pneuma. And in the scripture, when it refers to the spirit, the pneuma, it refers to the person. But when it is used just as spirit, it refers to the essence of life, the life of that being. I prefer when I read the word Holy Ghost, I prefer to use the word holy life. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so we find that the spirit is life. And without the spirit, of course, the body is dead. And so we're looking at life, the holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost means, the holy life. And so we ask the question, before Jesus was anointed by God, did he have the Holy Ghost? Yes, he had the Holy Ghost. He had the God life. You and I, when we're born, we have a spirit that is given to us by the natural birth. It's a spirit, Brother Brown said, was allowed by God. We come forth as, I think it was David said, I was born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. We come forth as carnal beings. But when God gives us of His Spirit, then we now have a Holy Spirit in us. And as we feed that Holy Spirit in us, it takes over the vessel. I have a jar up here for drinking water, but if this jar was filled with rocks, I could fill this with water completely and it's not a full vessel because there's rocks in the vessel. So as I take out the rocks, which represent unbelief, I have more room to fill this vessel with more water, which represents the Spirit. And so the more unbelief that we take out of our vessel, the more of God's life, His Spirit, His Word, we have room for. So the answer is yes, but not in the same sense or the same way that he had it after he was anointed. Because the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. There is not any difference, just terms that are used. Now, that is God's Spirit, which is God's life. And when Jesus was born in the flesh, the Spirit that he had was a part of God's Spirit or God's life. I call it the God life. He was born with God life, just the same as John the Baptist was born with God life. In fact, the Bible tells us that when John was born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. From Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, if you want to read it with me. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now think about that. Filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That child never had to repent to receive the Holy Ghost. He was filled with a purpose in mind. And at the age of 9, we're told by history that John left his parents because his father was a trained Levitical priest. And as each son was always raised up to be trained in the ways of their father, Jesus was trained to be a carpenter. John would have been taken to the temple at an early age and inducted into the ceremonial rites of the Jewish religion and of the priesthood. And at the age of 9, God set him aside for a 6-month work. At the age of 30, he came forth preaching hell and fire and damnation. Basically, repentance. Brought the high places down to low and brought the low places up. He brought the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high places, the high positions. He cut no swath, he cut no slack with them. He brought those places low and he elevated the low places, the people, the common people, brought them into relationship as sons and daughters of God. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And not only that, but his father was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1 and verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Same. And not only that, not only was his father filled with the Holy Ghost, but his mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1 and 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice each time they heard the word of the Lord, they were filled with the word of the Lord. And Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." You want to know how you can be filled with the Spirit of God? Fill your heart and your mind with God's Word. And get rid of all the little stones, all the little unbelief that lays within your heart. And not only was his father and mother filled with the Holy Ghost, but his cousin, Mary, was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and that anointing of God's life brought forth a Son of God. In Luke 1 and 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And not only John's parents and Mary were filled, either filled or anointed by the Holy Ghost, but there was a man named Simeon as well that was anointed by the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." You know, it sounds crazy to many people reading this Bible, but many do not believe the Holy Ghost anointed men in the Old Testament. Many people believe the Holy Ghost didn't come until the day of Pentecost. That's not true. God is the Holy Ghost, and God came to earth many times. And God anointed men with ministries. Which one of the prophets was not anointed by God? Tell me. But we find many scriptures that tell us that God anointed this one or that one with the Spirit. And you don't have to read the Old Testament to find that. In Mark 12, verse 36, "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." And so when David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord," we're told that the Holy Ghost anointed those words. And yet we have some people that would like to take those out of the Bible and out of the message. So you see, David was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and in fact, which of the prophets were not anointed by the Holy Ghost? Because if there was a prophet not anointed by the Holy Ghost, you might as well take that piece of the Bible and just throw it out, because it's not inspired by God. So just because these people were either filled with the Holy Ghost or were anointed by the Holy Ghost, that did not make them God. I repeat. Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost, John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And John was not God. His mother was not God. His cousin was not God. Simeon was not God. His father was not God. David was not God. And the prophets were not God. To be anointed by the Holy Ghost does not make you the Holy Ghost. And neither did Jesus being anointed by God and indwelt by God make the man God. Brother Branham said the man was not deity, but deity dwelt in the man. God is a spirit. God is not flesh and blood. But God indwelt His Son to manifest Himself to the world. In Luke 3 and verse 22 we read, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased." So this is when God entered His Son. This is when God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and he went forth doing many mighty, wonderful things. Excuse me. In fact, it was at this time that God was indwelling his Son. In Matthew 1 and verse 18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So we see Jesus is not the Holy Ghost, but he is the child of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost was his Father. Now, that doesn't make... There's a Holy Ghost, and there's a Father, which is God, and now you have two gods. That's impossible. That just means that God, who is holy, and God, who is Spirit, is the Holy Ghost. It's not two different individuals. So we see Jesus is not the Holy Ghost, but he's the child of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost that is his Father is God. And God himself indwelt his Son and gave him his own name. Now, I don't think that the Son coming in the Father's name is all that hard to understand. My name is Kosorek. My Father's name was Kosorek. His Father's name was Kosorek. You come in your Father's name. And not only that, but we have the promise of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But that does not make us God either. In Acts 2 and verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the promise is not only unto you, but it's unto your children, and to all that would come, and all that would repent, and all that would believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's look at a few more who received the Holy Ghost. In Acts 9, verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Acts 13, verse 9, "Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Acts 4, and verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." And what about the 120 that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Acts 2 and verse 4. "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, that was not unknown tongues, as the Pentecostals would want you to believe. Because all those people from different nationalities, different countries, they said, "How is it that we, every man, hears in our own language what these men are saying?" So those were understandable languages. So you see, to be filled with the Holy Ghost or anointed with the Holy Ghost does not make you the Holy Ghost. And since the Holy Ghost is God Himself, for God is holy and He is Spirit, and therefore He is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, because there are not two Holy Spirits, but it is one Spirit that we're all baptized into one body, the Spirit of God. The God life in us that makes us act like sons of God, just like Jesus acted as the Son of God. And just because God gave His own name to His Son does not make His own Son Him. Does not make Him God. There's only one God and He had a Son. And if you believe because God gave His name to His Son that it makes His Son God, then what are you going to do about the fact that all God's children are given His name? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Helena, what is your last name? Okay, Michael, what's your last name? Helena, was your last name always Guzik? When did you change it? And you took his name. And the bride takes the name of the groom. And the whole family in heaven will be named Jesus Christ. That doesn't make the whole family in heaven God. It means you have the name And not only the whole family of God, but the 144,000 in Revelation 14 and verse 1, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Those are Jews. From his sermon, "Mary's Belief," Brother Branham said, "It made this little baby come to life in the womb of a mother and leap for joy. And the Bible said that John was born from his mother's womb full of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, but while he was in the womb and the Holy Ghost was upon him, his own mother received the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, and gave prophecy concerning him and concerning the Lord Jesus." Don't you see, friends, that Jesus Christ, that was born of the Virgin Mary, was born of virgin birth. His Holy Spirit's here tonight. He has every angel under His control. He has every power under His control. All powers in heaven and earth, He said, is given into His hands. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations into all the world. All the power lays within Him. And He promised these things. Just don't question Him. Take Him at His word. Do that while we bow our heads just a moment in prayer." You know, we have some who would say, "Well, all power in heaven was given unto Jesus. That means that there is no more God." Now, when we look at the word "all power," we're looking at all authority. If I have a man who is a steward, I give him all authority. If I give him a power of attorney, he is given all power in my name. That doesn't make him me. That doesn't do away with me. It simply means that in my absence he can run things. From the message, we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said, "Look, when He was here on earth, how many knows that that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it was Christ, the angel of the covenant, all right? How many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus, that same Spirit? Look, when they questioned Him, St. John 6, calling Him, or your attention to it, they said, 'You say that you're greater than Abraham,' and he said that, why, you're only 50 years old. And he said, 'Before Abraham was, I am.' 'I am' was in the burning bush, is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, 'I came from God and I go back to God.' Did he say that? And when he came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again. After his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on his road down to Damascus, and big bright light struck him in the face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it, but Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. And what is this pillar of fire again? 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus.' Is that right?" Now, that wasn't the body. That was not the Son of God that was talking to him. That was his Father. So you see here that this one in the form of the pillar of fire is the same one that indwelt the Son of God. It was the Father. It's the same one who indwelt the burning bush. But the burning bush could not be a sacrifice for our sins. So God entered a human, a son, anointed that son with power to manifest his presence among man. And then the people, by killing that body, because you can't kill God who's spirit, but the people who, by killing that body, they were showing that they didn't want the God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so Brother Ram said God had to leave that body in the Garden of Gethsemane so that he could go forth and die as a man. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, "My God, and my God," Jesus had a God. Now, God doesn't have a God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And 3 days later, when he was raised up, the woman came and she said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my God, but go tell my brethren that I must ascend unto my Father and your Father, my God, and your God. Even the Muslims can tell you that Jesus had a God. Why can't the Christians understand that? Because it confused the body. Because God indwelt the body for those 3-year period. God raised up the body to sit at His right hand to make intercession for our confession. But it's not the body that came down in Revelation chapter 10. It's the God Himself. The God and Father, as Paul said, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's come down in this hour. That's who that pillar of fire, that picture was taken of. Now, the pillar of fire itself is not God, but God indwelt that pillar of fire. God indwelt His Son, Jesus. So you see that this one in the form of the pillar of fire is the same one that indwelt the Son of God. It was the Father whose name is Jesus. And the same name was given to the Son when He was given birth. The Jesus that was in Jesus was God Himself, the Father of Jesus. Now notice again, Brother Branham says in his sermon, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, he said, the door. Said, I will make one place. Don't you worship me in every door that I'll give you, but there's one door, and in that door I'll put my name. And where the Lord puts His name, that's the place that God will receive your sacrifice. We've made all kinds of doors, but God made a door. God made a door, and that door was, in St. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am that door. God put His name in Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the Son of God. Every son comes in his Father's name. He said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. I come in my Father's name, and you come in your Father's name. Jesus come in His Father's name, so His Father's name is Jesus. It's exactly because He came in His Father's name. And from the message, things that are to be, Brother Bram said, now, He don't meet you in a Methodist gate, a Baptist gate, or a Pentecostal gate, or any of them. But He put His name in His Son. He said, I come in my Father's name, and any child comes in his Father's name. I come in the name of Branham, because my father was a Branham. And you come in your name, because that was your father's name. And Jesus, the Son, came in the Father's name, and He said, He put His name. In this gate that I put my name, in that was the sacrifice. And in Jesus Christ is the only place that you'll ever find fellowship and worship to God. People ask me the question, then if Jesus was the body and not the God, can we worship Him? Absolutely, because God placed His name there. God placed His dwelling. That is the one person that God fully indwelt, that the fullness of the Godhead, of the Godhood of God, dwelt in that body. That's God's tabernacle. That's a duality. You had two persons inhabiting one body. You say, oh, I don't believe such nonsense. Then you don't believe a man can receive the Holy Ghost, do you? You don't believe that you can have a nature and then have another nature come into you? I've seen men that are possessed by the devil. And God's not big enough to possess a man? From God's only place of worship, Brother Branham said, where did He put His name? In His Son. Oh, you say, now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. That was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the name of His Father in every case. I come in this earth in the name of Branham because my father was a Branham. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. You wanting a scripture on that? St. John 5:43. See, I came in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then the Father put His own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. And He's the way, He's the door, He's the house. He's where God chose to put His name. God never put His name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, but He put it in Christ, the anointed Emmanuel. And from God of this evil age, He said, and when Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, setting that there to blind the unbeliever. Now watch. Why didn't Peter carry that out word by word? Why isn't there any evidence in the Bible outside of when Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, why did they all go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's not one evidence that anybody ever, until the Nicene Council, 325 AD, that they changed it from the Lord Jesus Christ, they changed it to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father? Father's not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost not a name. Those are titles. Those are expressions. Human's not a name. Go baptize in the name of human. No. What is the name of the Father? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the name of the Son? It's Jesus Christ. From God's only provided, or from God of this evil age. And when Jesus said, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, sitting there to blind the unbeliever. Now watch, why did Peter carry that out? Why didn't Peter carry that out word by word? He had to. If a man is baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he's never been baptized at all. He has no name. Father is not a name. Son's not a name. And Holy Ghost is no name. Holy Ghost is what? Like a human. It is the Holy Ghost. Father is a title. I'm a father. Son is a title. I'm a son. Human is a title. That's what I am. But my name is William Branham. And the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. What is the Father's name? Any son comes in his Father's name, and the Father's name is Jesus Christ. See what I mean? And from God's chosen place of worship. And now we find out that Jesus said also, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus. That's right. The name of the Father is Jesus because Jesus said to them, I carry my Father's name. I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then his name was Jesus and Gabriel called him Jesus. The prophet called him Jesus and he was absolutely Jesus. Before his birth, even the holy prophet called his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then God was manifested in the flesh in order to take away the sin of the world, and in doing so, he was given the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the name, and the name was placed in a man. Not a church, not a denomination, not a creed, but a man. He chose to place his name in Jesus Christ. Now we find out that when he becomes the place of God's worship, where you worship him, ever before that he ever was even born, his name was called Jesus. Now, the Oneness Pentecostals don't believe that. They have a hard time with that. When Brother Branham said that was a man. There's one mediator between God and man. How does it go? The man, Jesus. If Jesus was not a man, if he was just some kind of a coat, a badger skin, well, you know, I could take my coat off, if that's the case. And I could nail this coat to a tree. And say, I don't need God's sacrifice, I got my own coat. What kind of a sacrifice is it to nail a coat to a tree? But no greater love than a man hath, than he lay down his own life. Coats don't have a life. He laid down his life for a friend. Jesus was a brother. He said, go tell my brethren, I must ascend unto my God and to your God, my Father and your Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has a house full of brethren, children. And Jesus is your brother. And your brother laid down his life for you. God just didn't take off a coat and say, well, you know, I inhabited this coat, but I'm done using it. I'll just take it off, like one man says, well, you know, when the sacrifice is completely consumed and the body is no longer. So he makes fun of the fact that we believe that the Son of God is making intercession for our confession. He thinks that God went back to just being a gas bag again. Just get back to gases, back to spirit. Well, you might as well rip out your half your Bible Of course, there's those who do not believe in predestination, and we just read it in the Bible, and there's many times it's used in the Bible. One man, a great televangelist, said that predestination is a lie from the pits of hell. Well, then you might as well rip it out of your Bible. You keep ripping, you're going to have a pretty holy Bible. And not holy by God's standards, but holy, meaning filled with holes. All that He foreknew, all that were in Him before the foundations of the world. Look, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, He knew you before the foundations of the world. That's before you were born in sin, came forth to the world speaking lies. Before that, Romans 9, before Esau and Jacob were even born, I loved one and hated the other. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, or in His presence in love, having predestinated us according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Before the worlds were even framed, God knew you and predestinated you to adoption. Like Paul said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Brother Bram continued, it was so important that he give that it was given to his mother by the angel Gabriel that his name would be called Jesus, Son of God, and that's what he was. From Isaiah 9 and 6, this tells us that the one born is the everlasting Father. Let's just turn to it in our Bibles, if we would. Just a couple pages, we'll close. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us the one born is not the everlasting Father. It is not the Almighty God. What does it tell us? For unto us a child is born. Now, if the child is born, the child has a beginning. Well, the Trinitarians tell you that the Son was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. Now, how could a Son that has a beginning be co-eternal with the Father? He has a beginning. Unto us a child is born. If he's born, someone had to bear him. Someone had to give birth to him. Someone had to be there before him. So if the child is born, how could it... Then it has a beginning. And if it has a beginning, how could it be the everlasting Father? William Branham said he cannot be his own father. So we have an oxymoron here. Well, let's read on. Unto us a son is given. Well, if he's a son, that means he has to have a father. And if the Son is given, He's a gift. Someone greater has to give the gift. Who gave Him? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His Son. Therefore, Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us, this Son was given, and it is imperative that someone greater gave Him. And we have our answer that God gave His only begotten Son, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. Now, in order for the government to be upon His shoulders, He would have to be elevated to the place. And we find the Scripture tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 36, that God hath made Him both Lord and Christ. Now, if God hath made Him both Lord and Christ, He wasn't both Lord and Christ before that. But God made him that. And God placed all things at the feet of His Son. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if God made him Lord, then he wasn't Lord to begin with. In Acts 5 and verse 31, it says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Well, if He was made a Prince, how is a Prince made? He's born. What is His father? His father is the King. And Melchizedek, in the Old Testament, when God came to Abraham, He was called King of Peace. And what is the title given to Jesus? Prince of Peace. And the Prince is the son of a King. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Philippians 2 and 8. And be found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Now the Scripture plainly tells us that He was obedient, showing He was not sovereign. And God the Sovereign One exalted the one who was not sovereign. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice it does not say He is, but His name shall be called. And in fact, if you look up, I've got a Bible in here. It's called the 26th Translation Bible. I think Brother Jim has the same thing. If you look up all the different translations, it says, they shall call Him the Wonderful Counselor. They shall call Him the Mighty God. They shall call Him the Everlasting Father. Why? Because they just don't understand the Scripture. But the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Therefore, not He shall be called, this one that's born, but the name shall be called. The name Jesus is the Mighty God. The name Jesus is the Everlasting Father. The name Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. And the name Jesus is the King of Peace, and the name Jesus is the Prince of Peace, because He came in His Father's name. Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. And what does the name Jesus come from? It comes from Joshua, which means Jehovah Savior. Therefore His name shall be called what? The same as the Mighty God, the same as the Everlasting Father. From ashamed of Him, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But there will be one come in His own name, and you'll receive Him. That's your denominations. Any son comes in his Father's name. I come in my Father's name. You men come in your Father's name. And what was His name? What is the name of the Father? It's Jesus. He came in my Father's name. You receive me not. Now, His bride will have His name. Of course, I took a woman by the name of Broy, and she become a Branham. He's coming for a bride, and be sure and remember that as you come to the pool. Let us bow our heads now. Just a few more and we'll close. From God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, Now a son always comes in his Father's name. Any son will come in his Father's name. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Then what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? It should be the same name. And He said, A little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. He's come in the form of the Holy Ghost, the same Jesus. That was the reason they were worshiping. Oh, Jesus, see, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. From God's provided place of worship, paragraph 27. Now, to back it up, we could take the entire Bible to back up what I'm going to say. For the place that he chose is in Christ, in Jesus Christ. It is in him, his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you said, I thought the scripture reads here that he said that he would choose the place and he would also put his name in that place. Why, the Son always takes the place, the Father's name. My name's Branham because my father was Branham. And Jesus said that he come in his Father's name, St. John 5:43, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Therefore, there's where God placed his name under the sacrifice of his own Son. That's God's only provided place. There is where people can meet God is in Christ. That is his provided place. No denomination, no creed, nothing else. God's promised to meet us. Only in Jesus will he meet. For that's the only place his name is. And remember, Brother Branham said, God didn't give me that name. His name's Branham. There's only one that we can worship, and that is God through his Son. No man can come unto the Father except through me. That's what he said. Now, who is this Melchizedek? Now notice, now we see Melchizedek and why that Mary wasn't his mother. That's the reason he's called her woman, not mother. He had no father, for he was the Father, the everlasting Father, the three in one. He had no mother. We're talking about Melchizedek. Certainly not. He had no father, for he was the Father. As a poet said one time, speaking a great compliment unto Jesus, he said, I am that spake to Moses in a burning bush of fire. I am the God of Abraham, the bright and morning star. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the whole creation, and Jesus is the name. That's right. Oh, who do you say that I am, and whence do you say that I come? Do you know my Father, or can you tell his name? Hallelujah. That's the Father's name. Yeah, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. See, sure, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you think Brother Branham could say of the oneness, the Jesus only? When they saw there's only one name, he said, boy, that's a good thought. But they carried it too far and they said, yeah, and there's only one person too. And they missed it right there. Because even the song that Brother Branham saying so many times, and that's why people got this Jesus-only thinking. And yet that Jesus-only thinking is not a Jesus-only. It's the name Jesus-only, because the Father's name is Jesus, the Son's name is Jesus. I hope you understand. So I hope you can see the importance that that name is, and how that just because the Son received the name by inheritance, it does not make him the Father. He cannot be his own Father, and you being filled with the God life will not make you God either. There is one God, and he had a uniquely born Son, and he took on the name of the Father, as we his bride shall take on the name of the groom. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the most beautiful name that we know, the name of Jesus, in which the whole family in heaven shall be named. And we thank you for this understanding that you have given us this day. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to walk worthy of that name as your Son walked worthy. And we ask it in that name, that lovely name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
Now, Brother Branham came to the place where he said, I no longer call you church. I call you bride. And if we are called the bride of Christ, then we have the name of Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul says, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's commit that name. And let's take the name of Jesus with you. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll just take the name of Jesus with us as we depart.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It